The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Hey, Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Here we go with the second half of the season.
Oh my god! And it's
some
still
hectic schedules for certain teams as well, because they've had a lot of, you know, interruptions with COVID and things like that. So I think there's a couple of teams. I think San Antonio is one of them. Has got like 39 games in 66 days.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is all NBA talk. Probably start straight into the, well, depends who you talk to, the one of the big weekends in the NBA calendar, and that's the 2021 All-Star weekend.
It went along, I guess, sort of according to plan. Except if you're Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Why is it always a barber that's got to wreck things? I got a barber in Kansas City nearly wrecked the Super Bowl. Like, and now a barber has done this and knocked out, you know, two fairly, you know, notable All-Stars out of this game in Atlanta before they even got there. Like, they ended up getting to Atlanta, but It was just really another barber fiasco. Like, oh my god.
Well, these are the guys that have to probably get haircuts, you know, three times in a week, I reckon. So
gotta get that fresh look, you know, for the All-Star game and those whole, you know, 2,500 people in the crowd, you know, in the arena on the night. So yeah, look, as I said, sort of the game itself sort of went off without a hitch. I'd totally forgotten about how they ended the game, where each team, yeah, the score at the end of the third quarter, and basically there's no clock in the fourth quarter, and they just add 24, you know, in honor of Kobe to the leading team's score, and then that's what you have to get. So, you know, Team KD were behind the eight ball
already
from the second quarter. From the second quarter.
Yeah, they you know, I mean, LeBron had to get 24 points, clearly. But then, yeah, that Durant's team had to get a huge amount of points on top of that 24. We'll scale back to what happened before that. I mean, their skills challenge and all that. But then I wanted to talk about that 24 points.
Please.
What did you think of the skills challenge?
Because
that was the first thing, yeah. I mean...
Who cares? do we honestly care about that? Like,
no.
The last 3 years or the last 4 years, the big guys have won it.
Which is good. I don't mind that. But... But I mean, the problem with it is with it, they don't look nearly at all interested. Any of them, any participants... Luka Doncic was not interested at all. He couldn't care less.
I think there was plenty of people that were in Atlanta over the, you know, the previous weekend that were very, very disinterested in being there, and one of them being LeBron James. But, like you said.
Yeah, another big man, like you said. He was paying $8, so I picked that one up. I picked a bonus. I don't know why he was so far outside. He just has those skills as a big man. So I picked that up for $8.
I mean, I guess he was one of the outsiders for that as well. So,
yeah. No, I agree. It wasn't like it's. I don't know why they keep having it, to be completely honest. So no one gets excited for it. The crowd doesn't get excited for it. On the other hand, the next thing that happened, everybody was excited for the 3-point contest.
That's right.
It was a stacked field. I mean, it was a hugely stacked field.
Oh, absolutely.
It felt like, I mean, Stackfield and then Mike Conley was a late sort of add-in, which surprisingly he got all
and
the
look,
way
he made the final.
That's right. So it was, I guess it was that sort of, I don't know, Steph, it was, I think it was exciting because Steph had to win on that very last shot. So that was
Curry's first round before he got into the championship round was unbelievable.
It, for some reason, that first rank always eluded him, and it still eluded him now. But after that, when he just caught fire, he just couldn't stop him. Do you like that introduction of that? Well, they called it the 2-point. It's a 4-point shot, but it was a 2-point shot, I suppose. But do you like that introduction of that? That one shot at the back there.
The Mountain Dew 3-point ball. Yeah, it's Oh, I mean, you know that. It is what it is. That's something that they want to add into it to sort of, you know, to showcase the range that some of these guys have got. Like there was a few of them there that had absolutely no hope in getting anywhere close to that shot. Like Mike Conley's, I think all four of his all very much front iron. That long ball. So you know some guys. Some guys can, and some guys just don't have that kind of range. And for Conley to make the final is great, you know, especially as a late call in, you know, all around, you know, as an all star and as a participant to fill in for Devin Booker, but you know to put on a championship round like he did, and then like you said, you know, Curry having to win it on the last ball. For him to win it was pretty good.
And even he makes it. I mean, he's not a big person. He makes that long range shot look so easy. It's absolutely ridiculous, to be completely honest. He just makes it look so easy. But yeah, final shot. It was probably out of all those, what do you want to call them, those all star festivities. The next thing, the dunk contest, was just, oh my god.
It was wah, 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 wah. Oh man, that was, oh my god, that was horrendous. Like that was just, one of the guys, Cassius Stanley, has barely played an NBA game. He's never dunked it in an NBA game.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing for the, I think they're called the Mad Ants, the Indiana G League affiliate.
Yeah.
Look, just man, like you to see Anthony Simons and how much hops he's got was it? Look, there was the skills that they show. They're impressive. Like no doubt they're impressive. But there was no energy that they say it all the time. Just make your first dunk. Just make the first dunk, and that will get people. You know, interested in it, and you know, yeah. Obi Toppin missed a couple of dunks. You know, Simon's Cassius Stanley, you know, for what he was trying to do, especially in that second round, and he bombed a couple, and then he totally changed up what he was doing. So it was like, oh, okay, like yeah, he's clearly rattled. But it was extremely lackluster, and you could even sort of tell with the guys just sitting on the sideline, you know, with it being at halftime of the All-Star game, not a whole lot of excitement or anything like that. So, I think that's a bit of a fail on the weekend. Simons was the outsider for that too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was. I agree. It you don't have to have your you know, Giannis's and your Zion's and in there in necessarily in this dunk contest, although that'd like draw appeal.
I think you do.
Yeah, I agree. But from what you said at the start, if they make the first dunk and the dunks are great, people forget those kind of like, you know, no one was talking about Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon years ago when they lit it up. No one was talking about them. So no. I'm just saying, if they get the first dunk and the dunks are good, that's exactly what you said. That draws interest. Of course. Who wouldn't want to see
the
Toronto?
You've got to get the right participants.
I wanted to see there was Zion, but I want to see Miles Bridges from the Hornets. God, he can dunk ferocious. He's ridiculous.
That's right. He is a ferocious dunker of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you've got to get the right participants. I don't know how the NBA goes about getting the participants. I don't know, obviously, if they're, well, not obviously, but if people are invited, do they go out there and contact the teams and say, do you want to nominate somebody for the slam dunk contest? I don't know how they pick the people, the participants, but it's there's got to be very, very quickly being overtaken by the 3-point shootout. As the premiere thing on, usually this is on All Star Saturday night, but it's very, very much being taken over by the 3-point shootout. But yeah, the dunk contest was a bit of a flop.
They change it all the time. Clearly, this one was just like, who do you want to showcase or something like that? Because I thought it used to be, I mean, originally at the start, it was you either would be first year in the league or second year in the league.
They were doing that for a little while as well, yeah.
And then it got changed to how many dunks, you'd have to be the top dunker in the NBA, but how many certain dunks you did in the NBA and they concentrate on regular season NBA dunks. But now it doesn't. I don't know. You're right. Maybe they just ask the team, and the team just pick people that won't affect their regular season. Well,
but that's the thing too. Like they would see them in warm ups and in the training facility and stuff like that. And if it looks like they've got a little bit of creativity and they start to do some crazy dunks and they've got some mad hops, in the gym. Then they're like, he might be all right for a slam dunk contest. But it just, yeah, it was just, yeah, very, very lackluster to say the least.
The NBA, the All-Star game wasn't. That wasn't lackluster at all.
There was no defense for three quarters, well, but.
There never is defense for three quarters, but.
No, I know that, but it's like, you can, if it's just about, we don't want to get hurt. You can get hurt just as easily playing offense as what you can on defense. Like it's just to me that the All-Star game was extremely boring until the fourth quarter.
Like, well, it was the same thing last year. Remember the last year's one? The last year's one was that fourth quarter was amazing. I like the rule of first to 24. There's no shot clock and everyone's going really hard on defense. Yeah, it's same thing happened last year. I don't mind it. I'm not saying they're going to put it in the NBA, but I don't mind not having the shot clock there and say the first.
That's the
little, I just think it's
gimmicky, gimmicky thing for the All-Star game itself. But that, that game was pretty much over at halftime. It was like 100-80, and Team KD just got blown in the second quarter and down 20, and they just couldn't recoup.
If LeBron ever becomes, and he wants to, if he ever becomes a owner, he sure knows how to pick players.
Absolutely.
You line these teams up. I still don't know. Like, granted, granted, Joel Embiid would honestly made a difference for Team Durant.
Oh, big time.
Would have made a huge difference. Zion aside, Joel Embiid would have, as starting center, would have disrupted that team big time.
No, absolutely.
Luka, I don't know. He played so remarkably. He only got 8 points. He played the most minutes for that team.
Played like 32 minutes. There was a few guys out there that only played very limited minutes. I wasn't real happy with the coaches and the a lot of guys that were playing limited minutes. It was almost as if they'd forgotten what was going to happen in the fourth quarter, because you're always going to have the guys that you're going with to win you the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So it was almost like they're coaching the game, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh crap, hang on a minute, we're gonna have to go with our guys that we think that can win us this game in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And the guys like Sabonis, LeBron, we didn't see him in the second half. So it's
Rudy Gobert.
Gobert. Zion.
Yeah, Zion played 14 minutes. Yeah, something. I mean, unless he, well, I don't know. Even Jason Tatum didn't play much in that game either. So I don't know.
No. And you would have, I would have thought he would have been one of the guys at the back end of the game, but they would have thought that they could, you could get the job done with him. But yeah, there was, there was plenty of guys there that played, you know, low minutes. You know, even, even Vucevic. It, it's just, to me, it just felt like that. Yeah, both coaches had kind of forgotten what the fourth quarter was going to be.
Then
they're just like, we've got to go with our guys to try and especially to, you know, Team KD down by so much. That was always going to be a huge mountain to climb in the fourth quarter.
How about Giannis? Not so much the 35 points, but just the, what do you got, 16 for 16, and then he blew it with that three-pointer.
Three threes.
That three-pointer off the glass, he nearly blew it. Everyone was like saying, no, don't do it. he, he was. I took that, and I wouldn't read into it that much, obviously, because it's just an all-star game, but did he have a little bit of a point to prove? It felt like just a little bit, you know, don't forget that I've won two MVPs in a row. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit, but I think what would have been, even more intriguing is if Giannis and James Harden would have been on the same team. That would have been funny. Especially the little spat that they had a couple of years ago about each one's skill sets. That would have been kind of funny if they had been on the same team trying to pass each other the ball and stuff. There would have just been no team cohesion there whatsoever. I think it was just one of those, like you said, a bit of a statement sort of game for Giannis. Look what I can do. Look what I can do in three quarters when nobody's guarding me. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is to me.
Yeah, and that's right. It's hard to take much from this game. It just felt like, you're talking about Jokic, Joel Embiid, and LeBron for MVP. Don't forget about me. That's how it sort of came out a little bit. I still think he'd have a mountain to climb to get a third MVP, and I don't think the media would vote. I just don't think that will happen.
Not this year. I don't think
he... To get a third MVP in a row, I just don't think that'll happen.
Nah, that won't happen.
I think
at the moment, sort of like the MVP rankings, that like the top three are Embiid, Jokic, and LeBron. So I think they're sort of the guns that are being shown at the moment.
Yeah.
That are the leaders for the MVP race this year. So and rightfully so. I did like seeing the commentators at the game. I thought that was a plus. And one more thing before we, two more things. What was the best part of the All-Star game for you? Like was it Zion's dunk?
Just Dame's shot like that. I don't know.
That was ridiculous. That was so good. It's just like, I'm calling game. We're done.
It's not only that, but he makes it. I've never seen it's like he pushes the ball a bit, so you clearly he has to push a lot more than a normal three pointer. You can clearly see that, but it looks effortless. It is effortless.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't exert much. Like you see some of them that have to sort of really push it. He pushes it a little bit because you have to because it's so far away. But
it's a 40 foot shot.
My God, he just makes it look so effortless. And then, game, see you later.
I'm calling game here this year. We're done.
It's just a friendly rivalry or what, but I like that little, whatever Steph was like, whatever you do, Dame, I can do better. So it just felt like that real little, I don't know.
Pretty much. You got range, I got range. Let's see if we can put on a little bit of a show. For me, I thought the best part of it, obviously the ending was good, but for me the best part of it was the so-called smaller guys throwing alley-oops to other smaller guys. So Curry throwing an alley-oop dunk to CP3.
Yeah.
And then the other way around, CP3 throwing a nice alley-oop dunk for Steph Curry to jam it. and him sort of holding on to the rim and pulling himself up a little bit was I thought that was the best part, and that I thought that really got the crowd, the commentators sort of that really got them fired up with those two doing that. I thought that was great.
I mean, and that's just Steph. I felt like that whole weekend was just Steph's weekend. He just knows how to put a show on. And I liked Jaylen Brown's 22 points as well. In his All-Star debut, I don't know about the Celtics. We'll talk about the Celtics later and hot and not, but he just showed out. He just showed what he is and what he can do, and he's still young. That's the thing with that's the thing with him and Jason Tatum. There's still that was good. Yeah, I agree.
How annoying was that arena, not commentator, but the arena announcer. Good grief. With how many threes that were going on, it was 4-3. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, we need to stop hitting threes now because I don't want to hear that dude ever again. I don't want to see an Atlanta Hawks game on TV again. If I hear that guy, I'm putting the TV on mute.
Wow.
That was brutal.
Funny you mention that, because we may as well segue straight into some news. You won't see Lloyd Pierce there at all ever again in an Atlanta game. He was dismissed by the Atlanta Hawks after a 14-20 start. And Nate McMillan takes over on an interim basis.
Yeah, isn't that it? Nate McMillan who lost his job this year and is now the interim coach there at Atlanta. So I thought that was not so much ironic, but yeah, that didn't sort of take him long to get back into the head coaching mix. So they purely and simply have underperformed for the moves that they've made in the offseason. And yes, it's injury has crippled some of those guys. You know, Bogdanovich has been hurt. Gallinari's been hurt. Rajon Rondo has been hurt.
Yeah.
So some of these guys that were, key sort of signings for them and that they thought that they were going to move forward with these guys have all been either injured or in COVID protocol. So it's a little unfortunate, and I think it's probably a little quick to sort of pull the trigger.
I think so.
Yeah, on him, but
because DeAndre Hunter was still out as well, so he's not fully healthy.
No, that's right. They're looking for possible trade partners for John Collins. Like, I don't understand that move.
I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about some trade soon. I don't know where they're going. Like, why would you want to get rid of John Collins? I don't understand that.
I rate John Collins. I think that's ludicrous. I heard the same thing as well. Apparently, what have you read? Because the Rajon Rondo signing doesn't make sense at all. What have you read about Trae Young? Because of things I've read and things I've listened to on other podcasts and all that, apparently he's a bit, for lack of a better word, pricky to get along with. Mm.
Haven't heard that. Well, he's obviously very much fallen out of flavor with, fans and coaches and the media at the moment, because he was one of the leading All-Star vote getters last year, and he didn't even come close this year. So something's happened there. But I haven't really heard how easy or difficult he is to sort of get along with, whether it's on the court, off the court.
We talked about the team at the start. We thought they were going to be great, just I guess from the signings they had, and they still had. Then they traded in Clint Capella. They signed Clint Capella. They're fairly deep-ish. Tony Snell's still there.
We thought that they were there, that they were one of the deepest teams in the East, just simply because of the fact of some of the veterans that they'd signed. Yeah. And then the big signing in Bogdan Bogdanovich. It's just a bit funny what's happened there this year, especially after starting off the season so well.
Are they the kind of team that, and it just, I don't know, like, did we look at it too much and just went, okay, they're great signings, or are they kind of the team that had all this money and just said, well, you know, we've got this money, so let's sort of go and spend it. And, well, and maybe and didn't get the right players. Yeah,
possibly, but at least they were getting those signings to come there, unlike what other team, you know, unlike, say, you know, an Orlando Magic or some, you know, a team like that where it looks like it's hard to try and lure.
Yeah.
You know, and just sort of mediocre free agents, you know, not to say that some of these guys are mediocre free agents, but, you know, there are markets out there that it is tough to recruit unless you already have a young nucleus there. And Atlanta clearly has a good young nucleus that they can work and build around. And you know, the general manager there, and they put a team together that I guess they thought was going to be a lot better. They started off the season 10-9. And then, you know, lost 11 of their last, you know, of their last 15, you know, coming into the All-Star break. So they've been fairly poor as of late. I still just think that it's, I thought it was a little early to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I think so. I totally think so.
It's just, I
do. Cause you know, the injuries, like I think you mentioned it at the start, the injuries ravaged them and they're still ravaging them. Bogdanovic is still fully back. So I think it was a bit too early, but they're more of, I guess, a wait and see. I mean, they've got a great co-owner, so that always helps. You know, their co-owner.
Yeah, look, they're not to say that they're that's right.
So, yeah.
But that's the thing. If the playoffs started right now, they're in.
That's right. That's exactly.
So it's
right.
Just a little bizarre. What are they? Do they three games under 500?
Yeah.
You know, and once again, that's just the East being the East. You know, you can be a couple of games under 500 and be in the playoff hunt. I'm not even going to say anything about the play-in tournament about 9 and 10. But yeah, if they're in the playoffs as we speak right now, even after having, you know, a fairly poor last few games, they've won their last three. Leading into the All-Star break. So it's too early to pull the trigger.
I
thought on that. I was a little bit sort of disappointed to hear that news. Good for Nate McMillan that he's you know, landed himself
a head gig for
at least the interim anyway, and whether or not that they want to go out there and look for another coach or leave Nate McMillan there as
if
the head guy going forward, if they sort of stay on the path that they're on now and they make the playoffs, and even if it's, you know, a quick exit, you know, if they play the Sixers who look like they're gonna be the number one seed at least in the East.
Well, maybe.
But it's just for a team like that, it is an improvement because they are at the playoffs. So just once again, you know, it's the second half of the season now. So not that the games didn't mean anything, you know, prior to the All-Star break. I'm still always a firm believer that every game in the NBA, in a normal 82 game regular season counts. And in this year, 72 game regular season, I'm a firm believer that every single game counts.
Yeah.
Because when it all comes down to it, you know, once you start getting to this time of the year, then you go back and I guarantee your coaches and you know, GMs and owners would go back throughout the games throughout the year and be, oh, we missed out on the playoffs by two games. And like, well, we threw a game away, you know, early in the season. Say we threw a game away in September or October or November. And it's like, well, that means that game counted early in the season.
I know for a fact they do it because I read about it when they have their exit interviews, with the players, and they break down the season and that. Another bit of news, Blake Griffin was brought out by the Detroit Pistons and decided to sign with the Brooklyn Nets.
Surprise.
Does this, I mean, this is simple yes or no, does this make like the Brooklyn Nets just unbeatable in the East?
They're beatable.
Yeah. I don't think they're unbeatable just with Blake Griffin. I mean, this is a guy that hasn't dunked a single basketball since 2019.
This signing isn't going to be the one that tips them over the edge.
Look, I mean, after a buyout, you know, it would have cost them next to nothing. And this is kind of what they have to do with what they have in terms of actual cap space. So it made sense. I mean, as in terms of, like, well, they still need defense.
That's always going to be a thing. Teams in the last 20 years who have won an NBA championship, so this century, have never had a defensive rating that's worse than 11th. And the Brooklyn Nets are like 20th or 21st or something at the moment. So clearly they have an unbelievable trio and just an unstoppable offense. But we all thought that about Giannis and the Bucks, last year in the restart, but the year before, and they failed. Yeah. So what playoff basketball is totally different. It's a lot more sort of half court sets. It slows down a little bit. The court shrinks. Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody is locked in. You play that team at least four times and possibly seven times. So, you know, you get to work out the little intricacies in their games, you know, for each opponent. So it's not going to be just as easy as they waltz in and just blast the living hell out of everybody. But yeah, I found that little stat very interesting about, especially in the last 20 years, that you've at least got to have a defensive efficiency rating of at least 11th. And I think that 11th one was the 2000 Lakers.
Yeah.
That was the lowest one. They have all been higher than that since the 2000 Lakers. And that's got Shaq and Kobe.
I still think they need a center. I mean, and it's probably, if you really look at it at the moment, there's probably three realistically that either will get bought out or they could get via trade. And that's PJ Tucker, Andre Drummond, and LaMarcus Aldridge, who, like Marcus, might be a bit of a stretch. Look, but
the thing is that this isn't that one of the moves that, why they brought in Blake Griffin. They're going to use him as a small ball center. So
he can't defend.
I get that, but
it cost them all of $1 million. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they had to break the bank to get Blake Griffin. No, Blake Griffin still got paid. So if you looked at it, if it was them,
there's only so many roster spots on the team, that is going to keep. It's unless they're going to make a trade. But I don't think they've got. I don't know how much draft capital they've got that they can throw away for trades. I don't know. They're not done making moves, I don't think. Nah. But like you said, I think they need to get a little bit. Maybe a more defensive-minded center in that sort of mix. Whether it's a center or a power forward, like just one of them. Like we know KD's a good defender and usually sort of Kyrie and James Harden probably don't get their just dues as decent defenders, but they're going to get abused defensively. Most times by other guards, but it's
who the hell on that team, and this is why they need someone, who the hell on that team if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals is going to guard Joel Embiid? No one will be able to
they're going to have to switch a lot as well. Who is going to guard Ben Simmons?
They'll be
running a lot of pick and roll sets at the top of the 3-point line to get Ben Simmons on a mismatch. But if they're going to have, if they're going to have Harden and Kyrie out there, like clearly they've got a height disadvantage from the get-go. Simmons is one of the best slashers to the cup in the NBA. And they'll be running a lot of pick and roll sets to be able to get that mismatch. And that's going to be hard for them. So that's what I mean. They're not, unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination.
Plus, Ben can defend any of those three players. Ben's one of the best defensive players this year.
Yeah, I've heard people calling for Ben Simmons to be, you know, obviously defensive team, but yeah, to be right up there for defensive player of the year.
Because he can't, he can
defend all five positions.
Yes, exactly right. And especially on the point, which is absolutely ridiculous for his 6'10 frame. You really shouldn't be able to defend a point guard, but he can. He can defend a Kyrie or a Harden. So quick.
It's the agility. It's the lateral. It's the lateral movement as well. He's got a huge wingspan. He's a nightmare.
When they all talked about getting James Harden and having him in the trade, they weren't going to trade him. Doc wasn't going to get rid of him. I think those two are still great together. I think.
Oh, yeah.
And he got the best out of Tobias Harris so far.
Philadelphia have done the right thing this year and put shooters around them guys to spread the floor out. And this is what I've been saying. Spread the floor. This is what I've been saying that New Orleans needs to do. Need shooters. Spread the floor out.
I don't think they're done in getting shooters. They were another one that I put down when we talk about trades in a sec, who I think they'll go after. I'll go after another shooter, possibly from your team is what I'm thinking. So
exactly. And there's the talks out there that JJ Redick is, you know, on the trade block. I'd like to see him stick around, but it just depends on what they get back. If they get back a good young either wing defender or, you know, a 3-and-D type guy, then I think you have to take that trade. I wouldn't like any more draft picks. We've already got a million of them. We need players. We need guys there now, 3-and-D type guys.
I'll put it this way. So I had a couple of trades down and your boy in it, and maybe going to the 76ers. But I think if I'm looking at the 76ers...
76ers shouldn't have got rid of him in the first place.
No, well, that's exactly right. I think if they're going to go after anyone and just to get over the edge, I think they go after someone like a Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors.
There's talks of him that he could possibly be on the move.
It would have to be like a possible, like, it depends what they want to do and sort of who they'd have to give up. But if they, you know, someone like him, a bulldog like him, and then you have a Seth Curry that can sort of space out with Ben, like that, yeah, he would tip them over the edge easily.
And Tobias can... riches then, because what do you do at point guard then? Yeah, you've got Simmons there, and then you have Kyle Lowry. Like, what does he do? Does he come off the bench? Does he fit alongside Ben Simmons well, you know, and playing that off guard position? So he'd have to change his game up a little bit. And I'm sure he's a Grizzly veteran. He'll know how to adapt, you know, to different situations, especially on a team like Philly. But that's the only thing that I find would be a bit difficult if they make a trade for Kyle Lowry. Especially Philadelphia, just where, you know, a lot of teams have got 25, 30 games to go in this season to try and get a little bit of team chemistry happening, to get him sort of acquainted into that offense, and obviously then the playoffs after that.
What about, you know, again, I think there is a lot of talk about JJ Redick, especially the contending teams. Would you take this trade? I had this one down. Brooklyn, he'd go to Brooklyn, JJ.
Of course he would go to Brooklyn.
And in return, you would get Spencer Dinwiddie in a second rounder. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie is out with a tearing his ACL. But, you know, he's only a $12 million player option for next year. And it's Spencer Dinwiddie.
I mean... I think you'd have to make that deal. Dinwiddie's been around the league for a little while, but yeah, he's no slouch. Like a couple of years ago, he would have been very, very much in the mix for Sixth Man of the Year. So, you know, when he was, I think it might have first or second year that he was at Brooklyn. So, I don't think there's any way that, that New Orleans says no to that deal.
Yeah.
Me personally, I like JJ Redick. I think he's starting to find his legs a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Now, after that slow start, he's I think he's moved up to like 30-35% now in the 3-point range. So
And even that for him, that's still low, but just because he had such an awful start to the season, it's going to take the rest of the season to actually build that percentage back up.
Yeah.
You know, to somewhere around you know, the 38-39-40% like he would be, and he would set a, you know, he would set a bar himself to say that, yeah, that I'm well below this. But yeah, he's definitely been going a lot better as of late. Especially in sort of limited minutes as well. Like, they're not playing him a whole lot, which is a bit bizarre as well. I think they're sort of maybe trying to keep him on ice a bit just in case that there is that, you know, a deal out there that they can do and move him on.
What about, see, where do you see your season? This is what I was sort of trying to work out, because you've got one person on there that's, I don't think they're going to re-sign. But is playing well. He plays well with Zion, and that's Lonzo Ball.
There's a few teams out there that are in the mix to take on Lonzo. His numbers. I think that his numbers are a bit deceiving. Just, you know, his 3-point percentage is definitely on the up, but he is a major streaky shooter.
Yeah.
So he will make a ton in a row, and he will miss a ton in a row. So I think that's not so much part of the problem, but it's just consistency there. It's being reliable. It's not being, you know, a night where he might go, you know, 4-for-5 or 5-for-6, or another night he'll go 0-for-8. So it's that sort of thing. I just think his numbers are a little deceiving. That's all.
I don't think move him now. Don't curse
me. I think New Orleans, they try and make a deal with him to try and keep him there. I think
I had one deal, and this is just to see what you would say. He would go to the Charlotte Hornets, which is absolutely hilarious, for Terry Rozier. Just a straight swap.
I've heard that.
But the reason I asked, because I think he works well with Zion, and Zion likes working off him.
Yeah.
What do you see?
But you've got to keep him happy.
That's exactly right. So what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, David Griffin has got to do whatever he has to do, whatever deals have to be made to make Zion happy.
Because I watched the last three Pelicans games I watched, right? And it's clear no one – no, I know, but if you watch the games, it's clear no one can guard him from 20 feet out. It's absolutely clear. But if that's the case, the biggest problem I have with them, and I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, is in the last 5 or 6 minutes, he's not the one that's having the ball. Who has the ball in the last 5 or 6? Who is the
– Brandon Ingram.
Is he someone you actually move? I know what you're going to say, but – I don't think it's Brandon. If
they've
that's
just
the
signed
case,
him. Well, why would you move him? They've just signed him.
I understand that, but this is Zion's team. This isn't Brandon Ingram's team. So you're saying about getting someone around to keep Zion happy. I think he needs the ball, and I don't think Brandon Ingram wants to do that. I don't know who you go after. I'm just saying. I know they just signed him, but like it's just, I don't know. Like, what do you think? I know you're shaking your head because they just re-signed him, and that was the first thing that popped in my head too. But it's Zion. I mean, well, you can see it. It's Zion's team. No one can – literally, no one can stop him.
But Zion's only young. It's going to take a little bit for those guys to sort of develop that little bit of chemistry to be a good 1-2 punch. I know where you're coming from. Once the floor can get spread more consistently, then guys like Zion and Brandon Ingram, who's a good driver to the basket, can.
Yeah.
I think they can work well off each other. Brandon Ingram has never been the best passer and you know the most willing passer that's going around.
Where Lonzo is, and that's Lonzo doesn't need the ball anymore.
Oh no, that's right. No, exactly. Yeah. Lonzo is, but it's to me it's so simple. Just you keep the ball spread, you keep the floor spread. Zion has got a sometimes you look at him and the way that he goes about stuff, he's a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, that's right. I understand that. And that's probably
real bully ball, but yeah. he hasn't got the best handles down low. So he needs to develop that a little bit more. He gets a lot of turnovers and gets the ball stripped off him a lot by guys that are around about his size because he tries to just bulldoze his way in. And he's a little susceptible to dropping the, you know, to having the ball stripped off him. That happens a lot. His height, even though he's got amazing bounce, he gets blocked a lot because he's doing a lot of stuff in and around the basket.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. Like, you know, he posterized somebody yesterday.
I don't know. It's
unbelievable, Jam.
I'm not saying get rid of Brandon Ingram.
He's one of the league leaders in points in the paint.
Yeah. And I think he's got like over 60% efficiency rating or something along that lines. Like he the last person to get it was something along the lines of field goal percentage or something. The last person since Shaq. Because he's that unstoppable.
That's where he goes to work.
Right now, your team's absolutely killing the Cavs in the third quarter. They're winning by 30 at the moment. Just so you know,
they got blown yesterday by the freaking Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, don't even get me started.
They're winning by 30 at the moment.
That was horrendous to get blown by 30 points to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Bledsoe won.
Give me a freaking break.
The Bledsoe one throws me. Like, he's at the moment, he's 20 minutes to 0 points. He's probably
He's got to go. I don't care if you get a bag of popcorn and a 600 mil Coke. Just get rid of him. I want him out of my life.
You have to. The other trade, there's two other teams I just had down in trade before we move on. I said, I guess, hot night, unless you had sort of trade ideas. The first is the Celtics. Now, I mentioned them before because they've got Jaylen Brown and they got Jason Tatum, who are still young. So they don't have to go all in now. But they have until November this $17.5 million trade exception just dangling there.
They have a huge chunk of salary for a trade exception. So even they could go after somebody like a LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, that's
and
what
Andre Drummond.
They need that's what they need. You know, because I think since Marcus Smart's come back, I know he's pretty limited in his shooting, but they seem to rally pretty well
his shooting has been rotten. Shooting like 31% from three, and he's shooting like 39% field goals. Like that's not good.
I understand. But then when you've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I just think when he's back, then they play well. Off or with him, it's that center position. Tristan Thompson's done nothing. Daniel Theis has done nothing either. I think you've got to use that trade exception. I'd even throw this is out there, but like a Kevin Love in there would be fine. I don't know.
No, everybody's forgetting about Kevin Love. Like he's still a viable option for teams as well.
Especially when you've got Jared Allen on that team. Like where's he fit in when he's back? That team is peculiar, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The only other team, and just because they've got that, clearly it's going to be a possible very very high draft pick, and that's the Golden State Warriors. They have that Minnesota dangling top three protected first round pick that. Ken's
going by how their season's going, it's going to be that they might not get it.
No, that's right.
Not get that pick because they could possibly have they've got the worst record in the league at the moment. But
you mean the Warriors?
Absolutely, unless something happens with the lottery process where they drop out of the top three, which would be so unlucky for them. Warriors? To give that away. I'm talking about Minnesota.
Yeah, so what happens there? Sorry. So it's top three protected. Does that mean
if it's one, two, and three, they keep it?
The Timberwolves keep the pick, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So then if it's outside four, then it goes to Golden State.
Yeah, but then I thought also, then doesn't it turn into unprotected next year? No, it's possible. No, I don't think it does. Maybe
I'd have to read more into it.
But do you dangle that out into a team like an Atlanta Hawks and get a John Collins, possibly? I don't know. Because they're around,
the problem is, like you said, it's the protections that's on it. And whoever's taking on that it's a gamble.
It is a gamble, but you'd have to, there'd have to be other sort of, it wouldn't be just that first round pick. You'd have to probably, include, maybe a Bazemore, maybe a, Eric Paschal. I'm not really sure. So I don't know. I just think that's sort of one dangling out there. Because clearly if you look at past drafts, it doesn't really matter how terrible your record is. It's not guaranteed you're going to be in the top three. Really?
No, exactly.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think they're close enough where they sort of play as well. They're like around that. I'm just going to call it the 7th to 10th position. I'm not going to call it that what you don't like, but just they're in that area. So I think they play just because I think,
If you finish ninth, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Steph's, he's brilliant, but there's only so many championship runs he'll have left in him, clearly. So
that's right. I think I was saying, he's 32 now?
He's 30, turning 32, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just sort of crept up on everybody.
Oh, yeah. It did. We skipped over just before we move on to your hot not teams, what's happening with Andre Drummond? Like, what does he do?
He's just sitting around in street clothes.
Is he just a stats guy?
That's the thing. Where's the interest? That's the thing that sort of worries me a little bit about it. Why has there not been a deal? Is the deals I can only assume for him are not what Cleveland think he's worth, and then other teams must. Do you know what I mean? They mustn't just be getting the unbelievable deals that they think they should be able to get for him. And the longer they wait, that could mean that's desperation on their part, and the deals could get worse.
Is he one of those guys that I just look at the stats and I just think he's good, but he's not really that good. He's just a stat chaser. I don't know.
Oh, not so much a stat chase. I think, like we were talking about before with Lonzo Ball. I think statistically he's a. You look at it and you go, wow, he is a good player. But he's just funny like that. He's one of the better rebounders that we've had.
That's right.
In the league over the past seven or eight years that he's been around. So, that's obviously a very key game to him. But he. He's just sort of one of those old school kind of players where he's a big guy, but he's not really developed anything else, not a mid range game. He's more of a put back kind of guy and a bit of a back to the basket, sort of player. He's not sort of expanding his range anything. And look, if he can't expand his range, then that's a limitation that's on him. But yeah. I just think people just sort of, look at that and he can be a 20-10 guy, on a lot of nights. But like I said, statistically he can be a little bit deceiving, I think. Still a very good player, I think. A very good player. Still a good inside presence. And if whatever team picks him up, they're going to get an unbelievable rebounder. So,
and there are
strings to his bow that are good. Yeah that's right.
So and some dumb team will not overpay for him, but pay for him to be on their team. Shouldn't say dumb team, but that's what some teams are, to be completely honest. So, we'll finish on just your hot. I'll keep saying it, but just your hot and not teams, or like who teams you think are hot at the moment, and then clearly not. So,
well, I guess as we sort of led into the All-Star weekend, there was probably three or four teams that sort of piqued my interest, with the way that they were sort of playing. A couple of teams in the West, You know, the teams that are ascending, you know, throughout the standings at the moment are the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets. I think that are two teams that are on the rise in the West. You know, Denver's won 9 of their last 13. You know, they're starting to push themselves up, you know, back into, I guess, where they would have thought they would have been at the start of the year. Like, they're in fifth position at the moment, but they would have seen themselves as an absolute top four team in the West this year. So, you know, I think they've won 4 on the trot.
And I think that's back. Jamal Murray's sort of found his bubble form, or if you want to call it that, but his form he had last year. So I think he's a lot better. So
yeah, look, and that's the thing. Like, it's about getting, it's about getting those guys firing. Like Michael Porter Jr., can he be a lot more consistent? Jokic is obviously a front runner for the MVP race this year. So they're starting to, obviously after a very slow start and I guess a poor start by their standards, them starting to come into the right kind of form at the best possible time in the year, you know, leading into the second half of the season and into the playoffs.
Are they one piece, do you think, away of, like, do they need another piece at all?
I mean, possibly, unless they can get, they can start to get, you know, super consistent numbers from Michael Porter Jr. as to be that third wheel. I think that's a key to their success. Going forward is getting sort of, you know, star/superstar numbers out of him being that third wheel. And he's only ever going to be a third wheel on that team. With Jokic and Jamal Murray sort of, being the alphas there, for him to sort of be that good complementary secondary player, you know, and if he can be, you know, a 17 or 18 point scorer and an 8 to 9 rebound per game player, then that's huge for Denver.
And Dallas, I'd noticed they're slightly ascending, and Kristaps Porzingis is, I guess, sort of playing a little bit better, which has helped them.
Look, his last 10 games, he's been on the up. I think he's nearly averaging 20 points a game at the moment. His 3-point percentage has gone an uptick. I think he's shooting like 41% at the moment, whereas on the season he's only shooting 35%. I'd like to sort of see his field goal percentage go up a little bit, but I still think that he's come out and said it himself that he still doesn't think he's 100% off that knee injury yet. So it's just, I think he's being, settling too much for jumpers. Like, I think he's getting a little bit more sort of, back to, I guess, sort of, peak New York Knicks form, where he's sort of, getting to the cup a lot better and a lot easier than what he has. I still think that knee injury is very much playing a part in the back of his mind, or he's not sort of totally confident in it. But he's definitely seen an uptick in production, which is good. And that's sort of fueling Dallas a little bit more. They've won 10 of their last 13. So they're definitely, sort of starting to push for that 8 spot in the West. And I think that would still be a little bit of an underachievement for them if they just managed to scrape into the playoffs.
I think so.
I think that they've got a lot sort of loftier standards for themselves. So if they keep on this trajectory, then they could be pushing for maybe a 6 or a 5 position in the West if they keep up this kind of production.
Your team's just at the end of the third quarter going in 40 points up now. So
someone's a little angry after being beaten yesterday.
Do you have any then not so hot teams?
Look, I think the most glaringly obvious one is the Houston Rockets. Losers of sort of 14 in a row now, having a little bit of a fire sale. Trying to offload or possibly trying to offload PJ Tucker and Victor Oladipo.
We haven't mentioned Oladipo. Yeah, no. What's
well? He declined the extension that was offered to him.
Yeah,
in search of a longer deal. So, he's in the final year of his contract at the moment that he signed with Indiana, which was like 4 years and $85 million. So, two teams I think that have got big interest in him is Miami and New York. Mm-hmm. New York's probably got more sort of draft capital to put out there in a trade if they want to do that with Houston, whereas Miami's probably going to have to give up maybe one of their young guys, if it's a Tyler Hero or a Duncan Robinson or somebody. I don't see that happening because they haven't got a whole lot of draft capital. So unless they can make deals to get some draft picks from somewhere else and then make those deals to try and get somebody like an Oladipo, or do the Heat say, oh, how about Houston? Do you want Goran Dragic? That's the only carrot I think you can dangle out there without having to get rid of somebody like a Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson. Or a Kendrick Nunn.
That'd probably have to include probably a first in that as well. But, you know, he might go, this is a guy that was drafted second overall in the 2013 draft. He might go, after turning down that $42.5 million offer, he might go cheap somewhere.
Possibly.
And then just sort of, then bank on himself. Because he's not playing overly bad, but, it is the Houston Rockets that are in a fire sale at the moment. So, I don't know where he has to go somewhere. I just don't know. I mean, the Knicks Leon Rose, I get least loves his, he's admitted it. He loves having a star player. He's always admitted that. So,
well, and thing is too, there's deals that are out there that Houston can actually make for him if he wants to accept a longer term deal with the Rockets. They can offer him up to as much as 5 years and $195 million if they want to. If he wants to take a 4 year deal, they can offer $151 million to take him on. His numbers aren't like you said before, his numbers aren't terrible at Houston. He's sort of averaging 19, 5 rebounds, 5 assists at the moment. He's a career set, which it sort of stunned me a little bit to see that his numbers as a career, 17 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4 assists, as career numbers for Oladipo. So in the right situation, I guess he could sort of flourish a little bit. He is seeing a bit of an uptick in production at Houston, and I'd like to see where that combination of him and John Wall could possibly take them.
Wow. I just don't. My thing is, I just don't get why he turned down the offer. It's only a 2 year offer too, so it wasn't too bad. I don't know what he's expecting to get. Like that's 22, just under $22 million a year. That's not too bad. Obviously, he expects, an all star and all that, so he's expecting clearly more money. But
no, yeah. He's 28. He's 28, so I guess he's sort of. He doesn't want to go back into sort of free agency at 30. Like he wants a longer term deal so he can get that little bit more sort of financial stability. His recent contract that he just signed was 4 years. So I'm guessing he thinks that he can get another 4 year deal and he wants that uptick in money.
And you'd think because he was probably the centerpiece of the trade, I don't think Houston is just. Going to let him – he'll have to get traded because if he hasn't signed it, he's basically going to walk for nothing, in that trade that they did with Houston. The three-team trade that included him. So, he has to get traded. I just don't know what they're going to get out of him, I guess, just so he doesn't walk for nothing is really what I'm getting at.
They would get something for him. I could still see it. The realms of possibility that he stays there and they work out a long-term deal. you know, if he seems to like the chemistry that he's sort of developing with John Wall and the rest of the team. And yeah, they're going through a rough patch at the moment. But I think that if they can sort of persevere through this, and yeah, like I said, you know, develop that little bit of chemistry, yeah, and see how they go. Like, you know, Houston, yeah, they've got it. Yeah, they've got a new young, or you know, youngish sort of, you know, head coach, you know, a new GM there. So I guess they're just sort of working out what they can do. But it's I don't think it'd be that hard of a destination to sort of recruit, you know, some free agents to go there, especially if they're looking at a backcourt of John Wall and Victor Oladipo. I think that would be a good attractant for players to go there.
Yeah, I think so. Just one more thing to finish up.
Look, the team there, that was the glaringly obvious, you know, not hot team in the league at the moment. Another one is, which is a little jarring, is actually one of Victor Oladipo's former teams is in the Indiana Pacers. They have had a major fall from grace at the moment. They've lost 11 of their last 16. And just three weeks ago, they were in the sixth spot. And now they're sliding out of control. And they're on the outside looking in at the moment. You know, they're looking at a bogus play-in game rather than being, you know, in an eight or seven or six position, which only a couple of weeks ago they were in. And that they've had a major fall from grace at the moment.
They do have, you know, Caris LeVert. I think he's back.
They're waiting on, you know, that piece that they made, you know, in that three-team deal to come back and help them out. I'm not too sure how far away he is.
I think he's back on it this week or next week. I think I read somewhere. He's pretty close to being back.
I think Indiana's got some good sort of complementary pieces there. You know, obviously Miles Turner is the league leader in blocks still. You know, you've got Malcolm Brogdon. You've got guys like, you know, guys coming off the bench. You got somebody like TJ McConnell, who's actually leading the team in assists.
Yeah.
You know, coming off the bench, you know, still getting those starters minutes, you know, sort of semi-starters minutes. You know, he's a key cog to what they're doing. He had a triple double. He had a triple double last week with steals.
Yeah.
TJ
McConnell.
It's crazy.
TJ McConnell's not too bad of a player, but I know.
You want to talk? I mean, you want to talk about Kyle Lowry being a bulldog? Like, TJ McConnell. Yeah, even through all of that crap that he went through when he was with Philadelphia and all the losing and everything that he did with that franchise, and he was still there. Like he was a contributor, and now that he's at Indiana, he's a major contributor off the bench. I think it's like 6.8 assists that he averages. He comes off the bench. It's that was the thing too. It's the first triple double with steals in 22 years.
Yeah,
you know, like a points, rebounds, and steals. Everybody will come back. Don't clap back at me. Everybody will say, what about Draymond Green a couple of years ago? I think it was in 2017. He did it with rebounds, assists, and steals, but he didn't do it with points. Yeah, Draymond Green had, he had 12 assists, 10 rebounds, and 10 steals for a triple-double. I'm talking about a triple-double, a traditional triple-double with steals. You know, points, he had, you know, obviously he had 13 assists and 10 steals. The last time that was done was Kendall Gill for the New Jersey Nets in 1999. So he had 15 points, 10 assists, and 11 steals, which is an NBA record to have 11 steals. So, don't at me on that one. But I just thought that was something worth putting out with Indiana and especially TJ McConnell and how they play. But they're on a little bit of a slide at the moment. Hopefully they can sort of turn that around. And if they've got Caris LeVert coming back soon, then that'll be a much needed helping hand for them.
He's back Sunday against the Suns, actually. So, rough start. I still don't know what their makeup is. Like, he was always, it's just his name kept coming up all the time. And Miles Turner, like, what are they? Are they, you know, are they keeping him? Are they going to get rid of him? Yeah, Do they want to get rid of him?
Yeah, I don't know. You hear his name come up in trade talks a lot,
all the time. And you know, you got TJ Warren's expiring $15 million contract too. So, you know, someone might bite at that just to you know, have an expiring on their books coming into next year. So
yeah, possibly. Well, he's only played 4 games this season. So they need him back. You know, they need him back as a little bit of sort of extra scoring punch, so to speak. So, but yeah, they're definitely, yeah, you know, they're missing a couple of key wheels that are sort of keeping them on track. You know, and once they get sort of, yeah, Caris LeVert back and, yeah, TJ Warren to sort of come back a little bit later on in the season, yeah, to make a little bit of a playoff push towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think they're possibly buyers in the trade market at the moment. I think they have to be, being that they're sort of skidding around just below that 500 mark. I just don't know what they're going
to do. I think their recent situation, you know, like I said, lost 11 of their last 16.
I think
that has that will have forced their hands. They're seeing a playoff spot slip away, yeah. I think that's going to force their hand into possibly making a deal in the trade market very, very soon.
Well, I think if Caris LeVert comes back Sunday and they have a few games with him, they could sort of see where they're at, I guess, and then sort of take it from there. So it'll be, yeah, they're just an interesting team. I think it's just an interesting, because I think, put them together, you've got, you know, we haven't mentioned Malcolm Brogdon. You put them together, they're not too bad on paper. But I don't know, are they a mishmash? It's one of those.
A little bit. They don't have, I guess to me, they don't have that, you know, true quintessential superstar.
No.
But
Sabonis is their centerpiece, but I know what you're saying. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Twitter at Final Play Pod. And as always, Facebook, just use a search bar up the top there and just type in, or it's actually the top right, and just type in Final Play Podcast, which you'll find it. You'll also be able to get, not only see all our podcasts on there, but also on the website, gimco.com.au. Which again, like, cards are still selling crazy. I think I just read Tom Brady's just sold for Tom Brady's rookie card just sold for a record, NFL record, $1.7 million. So,
that's nice. Good on you, Tom. That's terrific. So,
yeah. Oh, it's, yeah, not even, yeah, Tom. Yeah. It's not that, but, and there would be just the money that gets thrown around, but it's also the, remember that flattering Tom Brady picture when he had the draft, when he had his shirt off?
Yeah, the combine picture.
So imagine if that's the rookie cover. He's just standing there with that little piece of paper up. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Should just have a little piece of paper up that says 199, because
I think that's what he held up, and he just had his gut hanging out. It was like, it just looked like all real slobby and everything. So he's also just trying to
nobody knew what was near. No, the league didn't know what hit him after he come in there.
He also just signed a 4-year extension, so he's clearly not done yet. That's including the last 2 years. They've restructured it, but yeah. So. Yeah, I know. He's
unbelievable. Yeah, he's just evergreen. Like, you know, if there's ever I've said it before, you know, if there's ever a person that's putting up a good fight against Father Time, it's Tom Brady.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say something else, because that's how I'm going to sign off now, because he is literally. Sorry. See everyone. My name's Jason. He is Oil of LA.
He is. Gronk is Tom Brady's oil of LA. Keeps him young.
Well, that's the whole reason he restructured his deal, so that he can possibly sign Gronk and Shaq Barrett. So
no, that's right. Yeah, because they tagged Chris Godwin.
They tagged Chris Godwin. So they've he'd restructured it so they can keep all it, and they signed Levante David. So they get those two back. They're just running it back. Simple. They don't have to pick up anybody else.
No, literally. That's right.
So.
Yeah, wow. I guess I'll sign off as better sign off as Miles. What the hell are we doing with Drew Brees Plum? So, yeah.
Oh my God. Well, we'll do an NFL one soon. We'll talk about quarterbacks, and that is, I have a huge curveball when we come to the New Orleans Saints and who's going to start Week One. I have a huge who I think is going to start Week One for you guys. Huge, and I won't mention it even when we get off this pod. So. Because I know that from what you just said then, like Drew Brees hasn't said nothing yet, so.
Nope. He's just training as per usual, so I'm still leaning towards that he's done, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
All right, see you.